You have no idea how wonderful I feel right now standing among you. Throughout the past month, me and Mike, he's my American dad here with me, he has been taking me around churches around Alabama, and I visited a lot of churches, but I haven't visited Tri-Cities yet. And we have passed this road a lot of times, and every time we passed it, he looked at me and he told me, "You'll be speaking here on 24th. I think it's the 24th. 21st. He told me a date, and I forgot the dates because he's my manager, and he got the dates in his head. Anyway, I'm so glad that I'm here. I'm so glad that I finally got to be here. I'm so glad that I got to meet y'all, and I hope that together we can study the Bible today, and I can share something from my knowledge. Before I start, I'd like to thank my mom. Because especially you who are parents and who have children, you don't want your children to leave your home. Well, unless they're bad. But otherwise, usually you want to keep them. And my mom, she loves me, and I love her. And every time I leave my home, she always hugs me, and she always tells me, she always asks me, "Are you going to miss me? Are you going to miss your family?" And I always tell her, "Yes. Of course I'll miss you after a couple of weeks because I'll have to do my washing and I'll have to cook for myself. But I will not miss my family, because wherever I go, whichever city I visit around Alabama here, I got my family right here at Tri-Cities Church of Christ. So thank you very much for welcoming all of us today. You mean so much to me, and I'm very glad that I got to extend my family for one more church here. Today I'd like to share with you something that not a lot of preachers use for their sermons. First, I would like to take us to Ephesians chapter 5. All right, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 says this: addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with our heart. We use this verse to authorize singing in our worship, and I think that's correct. I think we should sing, even at home, we should sing praises towards God, glorify God with our hearts as the instrument. That's right. But sometimes we overlook the first phrase in this verse. What does the verse start with? It starts with addressing one another. And I don't know how you do it here. I know that us in Czech Republic, that's where I'm from, we don't do it very often. We don't address one another very often. And today I would like to do that. I would like to address you in psalms, spiritual hymns, and songs. Because that's what the verse says. I will not use our red books we have here. Although the song we have just sang, the song 675, is almost exactly what I'll be speaking to you about. I love what the men were singing the whole time. Blessed, blessed, blessed are we. We are truly blessed by God. We get to be here on Sunday morning. We have so many things in our life, and we're so blessed. And that's exactly what I'll be speaking today. Not from the books we have here, but from the book we have in our Bibles. I would like us to go to Psalms in the Old Testament and study them together. Today, I would mainly like to show you my favorite psalm of all, of my favorite author as well, of a guy named Asaph. And I know that not a lot of people have heard about Asaph, so I would like to introduce you to him. Before we go there, I would like to ask you a couple of questions. And I know people love to hear questions. So you don't have to answer. All I'll ask you is to raise your hand, because if all of you scream at me, I will get nothing from it. Do you love God? We'll start with the easiest ones. I do. We are here because we love God. Do you think God loves you? Yes. We have many songs about that. And I think that today we just took the Lord's Supper. We took the Lord's Supper because God loves us. God sent His only Son to die for us on the cross according to the Scriptures, to be buried, to be raised according to the Scriptures. That's what the Bible told us.
Yes.
God loves us. Do you think God loves you that much that he blessed you? Yes. Is there anything you need in your life? Did God provide you with everything you need? Yes. I think that's exactly what Psalm 23 said when we had the scripture reading this morning. God is my shepherd. He takes care of me. Even if I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. My cup overflows. God takes care of me so much. He loves me so much. He gives me everything I need, right? Now the hardest question, and the last question, for raising hands at least. Do you know anyone in your life? Have you heard about anyone? Have you seen anyone on TV who, from a physical point of view, is doing better than you are, even though he's not a Christian? I do. Why? Why is that happening in this world? We have read Psalm 23. We can read Psalm 1. We can read many passages in the Bible speaking, God will take care of you, and he will not take care of the people, of the other people, of the wicked people. Then how come in this world we are not doing better than the rest? How come God doesn't provide us with more than he provides the other people? Now, these are some hard questions we face in our lives. Even though we know we are blessed by God, very often we slip and we think about other people around us. And a lot of times, we are envious of them, of the way how they live. A lot of times we look at them and we think, wow, I would like to have that car. I would like to have that job. I would like to have that power. And I know these are the questions that we don't like to talk about very often. But that's exactly what Asaph has been going through in his life. Asaph is a guy that wrote 11 psalms together. He wrote the psalms beginning in Psalm 73 up to 83. And then there's one separate. Asaph is mentioned in the Bible only two more times. And that's why we haven't really heard about him. He's mentioned in the Chronicles, in the first Chronicles chapter 15. He's mentioned when David brings home to Jerusalem the Ark of the Covenant, the best time for a follower of God to live in. The time of David, the time of the perfect empire, the perfect king, right? That's the time where Asaph lives. In chapter 15 of Chronicles, David brings home the Ark of the Covenant, and then he establishes roles in the house of God. And one of the roles he establishes is a song leading. Actually, he lets the Levites decide who they want to have as their song leader. They picked several guys, and one of them was Asaph, the guy who wrote the songs. So what can we take from that chapter? We can take that Asaph lived in the best time for a follower of God from the Jews. In the best kingdom, by the best king. That's the time when he lived. He had a good role. He had a good job. He was the song leader in the house of God. How better can that get? And he lived in this time. One more time he's mentioned. He's mentioned in 2 Chronicles 29. In the time of King Hezekiah. When Hezekiah tries to reestablish the service in the house of God, he tells people to go in the house of God and to sing song and praises to God. And he mentions there are two songwriters in verse 30 of chapter 29. And he tells them, go and sing songs, go and sing psalms of David and of Asaph. We know David. We read many of psalms. We read one of his psalms this morning. And Asaph is put at the same position. They're supposed to sing the songs of these two authors. That's the time of Asaph. That's how important he was in his life. That's what he was doing. But even though he was living in this time, even though he had this perfect job in this perfect kingdom by the perfect king, he still asked himself the same questions I did a couple of minutes ago when I asked you. He knew he was blessed. But he still thought there were some people in the world who were doing better than he was. I would like us to take us to the first psalm that he wrote. Let's look into Psalm 73. Before we start reading, usually when I talk about this psalm, I like to ask people to close their eyes before we start. And I'd like to do the same with y'all. Close your eyes. And you, during my primary school, a lot of times my teacher asked me the question, imagine your house on fire. Imagine your house being burned down. What's the most important thing in your house? What would you pick up and run away with? I'd like to rephrase the question for y'all. Imagine your life being on fire. Imagine your life falling apart. What is the most important thing you try to save? What is the most important thing in your life? What do you hold up to? What do you run towards if everything is crumbling apart in your life? Now answer that question in your head. And keep it in your mind. And I hope that with the image of Asaph and with his story, we can find the answer together. And then we can talk about it. Let's look into Psalm 73. In the first Psalm of Asaph that we had written down. It starts in verse 1. Psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. That's what we have just said. God is good. God takes care of people who are good. God should take care of Christians. And we think God takes care of Christians. But still, there are people in this world who aren't Christians and who are doing better than us. And that's what Asaph noticed, even he was living in this time. So after he confesses that God is good, in verse 2, he says, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Often we talk about the time of David as the perfect time where there were no bad people. Well, we know that wasn't true. And Asaph knew that wasn't true. Even though he lived in this kingdom, he saw many people who were wicked, who were evil. And he sent this of these. Why? Because he saw the prosperity of these people. Because he saw how well they're doing. How about us? In the Old Testament, we often talk about the physical sacrifices they made for God. How about us in this life? Do we make sacrifices for our God? Do we make sometimes sacrifices that puts us in a position that we're not doing as good as the people who aren't doing the sacrifices? I got many friends at home in the Czech Republic. And because right now in the Czech Republic there are 4 churches of Christ, I grew up in a primary school where out of 9 grades, I was the only Christian. And I got all my friends who were atheists or any other religion, but they never took it seriously. And very often they came up to me, even in my high school, they came up to me and said, Vitek, we are planning a great trip during the weekend. We're going canoeing. Will you join us? I said, yeah, sure. I love canoeing. I love going out with friends. When are you going? Oh, we're going on Sunday morning. Well, I'm not going with you. I'm going to church on Sunday morning. That's one of the examples. How many times because of faith, how many stories we know because of faith that the guy lost the girl or that the girl lost the guy? How many times did the Christian lose their job because he was not willing to work on Sunday? A lot of times, from a physical point of view, being a Christian slows us down. And very often, it's easy for us to slip and to be envious of the people who aren't doing these things and to want to be at least a bit like them. That's what Asaph said in the beginning of Psalm. And now he continues with describing these people. In verse 4, he says, "For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They're not in trouble as others are. They're not stricken like the rest of mankind." He's saying here, they're living the dream. They're living well their lives. They're not stricken. They're doing good until their death. Verse 6, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Asaph knows how horribly they act. Asaph knows what kind of people he's talking here about. He knows they're evil. He knows they're wicked. He knows they're proud and violent. And even though he knows that, what did he say in verse 3? "I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." And we saw that these people, especially politics, sports, music, we know these people aren't doing good things. Very often we know they're doing very bad things. But still we sometimes say, I wish I had a car like him. I wish to be like him. I would love to come to the United States twice a year, but I just can't afford it. I would love to go on a trip to Spain, to Italy. Very often, it doesn't have to be our faith that slows us down, but sometimes it is. But God told us that we will be like the sheep in Psalm 23. God told us we will be his sheep. He will take care of us. Then why is that? That's what Asaph didn't understand. He continues describing these people. Verse 7, "Their eyes swell out through fatness. Their hearts overflow with folliness. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily they threaten oppression." These are not nice words he talks about them. These are pretty strong words he uses against them. Against those people that he's envious of. Verse 9. "Not only they spoke bad, they were bad in the view of a worldly guy, but also in the view of a Christian, of a follower of God. Because in verse 9, they were speaking against the God, against the heavens. They set their mouths against the heaven and their tongue stretched through the earth. Therefore, his people turn back to them and find no fault in them." So not only Asaph had this problem, but many people in this time of David had the same problem we have in this world. In verse 12, "Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease, increasing in riches." Sometimes Christianity, faith, slows us down. At home, I'm working in a marketing agency. And I walk to clients and I try to sell their stuff. And this one restaurant approached me in the city I used to study in a city called Pardubice. And they walked up to me and they said, "We really like what you do for this and this company. Can you come for a meeting at our restaurant? We would like you to sell our restaurant, to use social media as a platform for our marketing." I said, "Yeah, why not?" And we agreed on a meeting. So I went there to the restaurant, and it was a weird restaurant. It was dark and scary. Anyway, I walked in there, and the guy was actually pretty nice. And he told me about the restaurant, and every time when I go to a meeting like this, I like to start with a question: why should people go to your restaurant? What makes you different than the other restaurants around you? And he looked at me in this very dark place. He looked at me and he said, "Well, Vitek, you know, in the Czech Republic there is a law that in a restaurant, you are forbidden to smoke by the law. You can get a very high fee. Even the restaurant can get. And we are technically not a restaurant because on a paperwork, I don't remember how they were called. I know that I never heard that name before, and I hope I'll never will. They were called something different. So people were allowed to smoke in their restaurant. It worked like a restaurant, but it was named differently. So he told me, go on our social media and tell everyone in Pardubice, tell your friends, everyone, come here to this restaurant because here you can smoke. I told him, I'm not going to do that for you. Even though he offered me a good starting salary, I wasn't willing to do that. Sometimes faith slows us down. But God promised us he will take care of us. I remember that in my primary school, my elementary school, the preschool, the thing before school where you play all the time, I had this great friend. I still do, actually. And we used to play on firemen's all the time. And then there was this girl. Her name is Anetka. By the way, she still has no idea about this. And I looked at her and I thought, she's very pretty. So I told my friend that I'm dating her now. Yeah, and he looked at Anetka and he told me no, that he's dating her. And because he was stronger, he was dating her. And at that point I thought, well, especially looking back, because these are moments that repeat in our lives. God is supposed to take care of us. But very often, the Christian guy isn't the one who gets the girl. That's the problem that Asaph had. And now, in verse 13, after seeing all these people around him, after seeing everything that happened, in verse 13, he hits rock bottom. After he saw the prosperity, how they increase in riches all the time, he hits rock bottom in verse 13 and he says, all in vain have I kept my heart clean and I washed my hands in innocence. I promise you that you probably already had a feeling like I did in my elementary school, although I did not really understand it at that time. You probably went through, and you probably will, Lord willing, go through moments like that again. But it can never get you down like it got Asaph. You can never fall down and say, all in vain I'm a Christian. There's no use for me being a Christian anymore because it slows me down. Never it can get you down as Asaph got down. He didn't understand it. In verse 14 and 15, he describes how hard his life was. He says, for all day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. In verse 16, but when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task. He didn't understand it. We don't understand it sometimes. The tilting point happens in verse 17. If Psalm ended in verse 16, I don't think we would have this psalm in our Bibles. I don't think it would be my favorite psalm at all. And if my preaching ended here, I don't think I would ever be invited to speak here again. Verse 16 ends with him being confused, with him not understanding. And verse 17 talks about the tilting point. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. Notice when did the tilting point happen? It didn't happen when he was outside canoeing with his friends on Sunday morning. It didn't happen when he had the girl, when he had the job, when he had the car. It happened when he was in the sanctuary of God. What does it mean, sanctuary of God? How can we get to the sanctuary of God? I think we are in the sanctuary of God right now. When we sing praises to God, when we pray to God, when we study the Bible together, that's the sanctuary of God. And that's the point when Asaph understands it. When Asaph finally notices that it's not this world we should look at. It's not the path that these people are walking on that we should look at. It's the ending of the path. Where does the path end? And that's what the rest of the psalm, of the song is. That's what Asaph wrote here in Psalm 73. Verse 18, truly you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. Here Asaph says, you God are in charge. I can see there the words, you God are in charge. You're taking care of this world. I don't care how they're doing over here. Your plan is, and your plan will stand. You're in charge. You will take care of it. You will set them in slippery places. You will destroy them. I like verse 20, how it describes when God awakes. How easily for you is to forget your dream in the morning. For me, it's easier than I don't even have to think about it. That's how easy it is for God to get rid of these people. So sometimes when we look at the other path and we see the prosperity of the wicked there, let's not think about how they're doing over there. Let's think about the ending that they're walking up to. Let's think about how we can get to the other path. The other path is described at the end of the psalm, but right now, after Asaph discerns their end, after Asaph understands it, he remembers one thing. He remembers how horribly he acted. What did he say in the beginning? In verse 3, he was envious of the arrogant. In verse 13, he said, all in vain have I kept my heart in innocence and my heart clean. He remembers this. And now, in verse 21, he says, when my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast towards you. Now, Asaph here describes himself. And this is not a nice language either. He talks about how horribly he acted towards God, how he lost faith. Notice what happened later. And I think that's the verse that gives me the biggest hope out of all the verses in this psalm. Verse 23. Nevertheless, even though I'm continually with you. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You hold my right hand. Notice that it was not Asaph who was holding God's hand. It was not Asaph who was keeping the back door open. I will return to you, God. It was God who took care of Asaph. It was God who held his right hand. It was God who's in charge, even in our lives. And now he remembers it. He remembers how horribly he was. He remembers how God still took care of him. And in verse 25, he says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Notice, remember, in the beginning, I asked you to close your eyes, and I asked you to remember to imagine your life being on fire. What is the most important thing in your life? What is the thing you run towards? What is the thing you hold up to? If it was not God and God's love, be prepared to let go of that thing because it's not worth it. Verse 26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Now Asaph doesn't care about his life. He says, I can die here in this world. My heart and my flesh can even fail. And as long as I have you, God, in my heart, I don't care. Because you, God, are the most important thing in my life. What I love about this psalm, how it changed how Asaph talks about himself, how he describes how much the sanctuary of God changed his way of life. And verse 27 and 28, it summarizes the whole psalm. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. One more thing before I end. One more thing I noticed in this psalm. Have you ever seen a black and white movie? I did. I grew up on those. And do you know what's the difference between a black and white movie and a colorful movie? It's the colors. In a black and white movie, it uses only two colors. I can see two colors in this psalm only as well. This psalm is black and white. This song talks about two men, talks about two paths, two ways of life. And it doesn't matter how good the paths are, it's about the ending. And there are two endings only. And it's up to us to choose on which ending to be. And not only for us to choose on which path to walk on for our lives, but also to choose for the, or to help the other people walk on the correct path. Because we know the ending of those paths. We know how horrible it will be on the other path. Well then, let's help the people on the other path. This psalm is black and white. There's no third path. There's no third ending. Remember this in your life. Remember what Asaph went through. Remember when you see people who are doing better than you are in your life. Remember when you see people who aren't Christians in your class, in your work, at your jobs, at home. Remember the endings of them. Because they're what counts. It's not the path that matters. It's the ending. And if you were holding up to something that wasn't God, be prepared to let it go. If there's anyone here who hasn't made his choice to follow God, to be on the right path, and to see the eternal kingdom at the end, to walk to the great ending we are promised by God, let him step forward while we sing our invitation.